Fantastic. Do grab your seats. As we've already said, Chris mentioned that we're going to have a bit longer to worship a bit later on, because we're really expecting that God's going to meet with us this morning. Just a couple of things to share that we've felt earlier, just prophetically things that we felt the Lord give us for this morning, maybe for one or two individuals in the room. And we'd love to pray for you if any of these apply to you. Picture of somebody who in this last short while of your life, your heart has been broken. And it could be a romantic thing, although we kind of weren't quite sure, but this sense of a real heartbreak quite recently. And it's felt, and what you thought to yourself recently is this pain will never go away. It will not change. And just had a picture and saw the Lord walking towards you. And it was almost like he was ready to kind of wrap these bandages around you, to hold you still and to bring healing. And there's a verse in Psalm 147, verse 3. It says, "I will heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds." And just a sense that God wants to heal somebody that recently you've said to yourself, "I can't imagine this pain ever going away." Claire had a word. She had a picture in the week of this zip kind of not quite working properly and needing to be zipped up properly. And a sense that somebody had a back issue and the Lord just wanted to put your finger on it and touch you and bring healing to your back. And Linda had a word also in the week, and it was a picture. This was of anxiety hanging over somebody's head and the kind of anxious thought patterns that go around and round. And when God put his finger on these thoughts, these almost this physical thing that was hanging over you, they completely disappeared. And this morning, we want to pray for healing. And it could be a whole range of different types of healing. Sometimes when we think of healing, we just think of the physical. But actually, there's lots of ways that God loves to heal us. It could be emotional, spiritual. And we want to pray. And we believe that God is going to do more than maybe we came expecting. And so I just want to invite you really to believe that there's this possibility that God may want to bring a measure of healing to you, either emotionally or physically, some way that you'd not come this morning expecting. Wouldn't that be an amazing and wonderful thing? Last week, we looked at this guy, Elijah, from the Old Testament. We looked at the start of his journey, and we saw how God hides Elijah in order to grow him. And to his surprise, he ends up in a place at a brook where God feeds him supernaturally. And then he's led to this place called Zarephath, where he meets this widow, and he stays in her home. And that took us up to verse 16, and we're not going to dip back into that particularly today. But this is what we read at the beginning of verse 17. And there's some things that we're going to dig out of this. Then we're going to have lots of time to just to worship and allow God to come and put his hand on our lives. Three little words that tell us something important. Verse 17 starts off, "some time later." And it tells us that Elijah's faith and God's faithfulness, they worked. They actually worked. One meal that Elijah had supernaturally multiplied for this widow and her son and for Elijah. But then something devastating happens when we get to our passage today. We're not told what was actually wrong with the son of this widow, but the illness is so severe that if you've got your Bibles with you, it's 1 Kings 17. We read this in verse 17, that finally he stopped breathing. That's quite definite, isn't it? It's kind of, it's not a minor illness. It's not a headache when you wake up. This boy has died. And I want to see how Elijah grasps hold of this, actually something that is devastating for this family, and before we pray. So we're going to be looking at the extreme, death, but the principles we're looking at apply to everything in between death and us being completely well. Everything in between that, what we're going to look at this morning, I think is relevant. First thing I want us to see is that Elijah, he takes responsibility. This doesn't sound like the most exciting thing in the world to kick off a talk on healing, but actually it's really, really important. Because we're going to be praying a bit later on. We're going to be praying for some of you here this morning that God, you feel God wants you to grow your faith for healing and to pray for other people. And we're going to pray for you. Those of you that feel maybe God's given you this gift of healing, we're going to pray that. And we've got to take responsibility. What do I mean? There's a whole bunch of things that we would be tempted to do in this situation. If it was me, being really honest, I think I'd be saying to myself, it's time to leave. All right, this bed and breakfast has been fantastic, but I'm not sure I want to be here. That might be my first thought, I don't know. What Elijah does is he stays, and more than that, he brings faith to this really horrific situation. This woman, she's understandably, she's beside herself. Can you imagine? Some of you actually in the room, you can imagine. It's either been real, or for somebody close to you, it's been real. She's beside herself. She's lost her only son. And then all of this kind of accusation and blame and anger pours out of her. We read in verse 18, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" I want us to see how Elijah deals with this, the right kind of responsibility. See, he says, "I will pray, but God is the healer." And the greatest freedom that we have when we pray for anything is to have nothing to prove, but everything to believe for. And the key here is that our faith is in the giver, not the gift. Do you get that? He's taking responsibility, but he's actually saying, my faith, everything that I'm about here, everything I'm going to stand for, my responsibility here is not in my gift, it's in the giver. That's the starting point. But there's more that Elijah gets hold of that's important for us to get hold of as well. You see, the background of this woman is important. And her background, she was a woman from Zarephath, modern-day Lebanon, and she believed her particular religion, and just to be clear, this is not true, the opposite is true, but what she believed about God was that God would become angry at the smallest little thing. If you did anything wrong, God would become this angry figure and would dish out punishment in that way. And so having a man of God stay in your home like she'd had, his aura of the man of God, well, it would attract the attention of God. And when it was good, it was very good, but when it was bad, it was very bad. So Elijah faces this barrage of anger, of fear, and of accusation. And he could have been defensive, couldn't he? He could have said, "Hold on a second, I didn't kill your son. I've been here." He could have said, "Hold on, I'm the one who through faith, you've had all this provision for this last year or so." He could have done what maybe we'd be tempted to do as well. He could have put the pressure back on her. He could have said, "Okay, it's your faith. You're going to be the one that's going to need to pray for your son." I have a bit of a problem, in actual fact, a big problem with healing meetings where they drag people up on the stage. And in front of thousands of people, they repeatedly ask the question, "How's the pain now?" Don't get me wrong, we've got to have faith. But why have I got a problem with it? I think it puts the responsibility in the wrong place. The wrong kind of responsibility. Jesus always seemed to do the opposite, didn't he? The healing of Jairus' daughter. Some of you will know this story. And this beautifully foreshadows our story today. Beautifully foreshadows this story of Jairus' daughter. It says in Luke 8:56 that her parents were astonished when she was healed, when she was raised up from the dead. But Jesus ordered them to tell no one what had happened. There's a responsibility, there's a dignity that goes with this. It's a responsibility that's backed up by character. All right, to put it another way, the gifts of the Spirit should be accompanied by the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Does somebody want to just shout those out, if you can remember them? Anybody? Okay, I'm just going to go over here. So if you're listening online, you've just got a different voice.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
That definitely deserves a round of applause. But the gifts of the Spirit should go in the same stream as the fruits of the Spirit. And if you use the gift of healing, but you demonstrate pride, there's something wrong. Here's the thing. God may still heal the person. You know that, right? Because God is so gracious. He's so good. He's so generous. But actually, when we're praying for people, and when we come to pray for people in a little while, just to be saying, "Lord, I want to flow in the fruit of the Spirit here, as well as using the gifts of the Spirit." So what does Elijah do? How does he actually take responsibility? I love this. If you can mentally picture it, some of us have got different minds. My mind tends to work visually. Elijah walks up to this woman who's grieving. She stood there holding this limp, lifeless body of this boy, her only child. And Elijah doesn't rebuke her. He doesn't try and reason with her. He takes the boy out of her arms and walks away. He takes responsibility, just takes the boy from her. Verse 19, he took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he'd been staying. The second thing I want us to see here is that Elijah takes the problem straight to God. He doesn't meander. He doesn't kind of try and talk his way out of it. He doesn't try and do what I sometimes do, which is try and be a good pastor, bring the problem to me. No, no, no. He says, we're going to take the problem straight to the source. We're going to take this problem straight to God. I want us to see how he does it. He creates an environment of faith. He removes the things that reduce faith, distractions. So he takes the boy away from this overwhelming sense of loss and calmly walks up the stairs holding this dead body to a place where what had he been doing for the last year? Praying, spending time with God, believing that things could change, a place where faith in himself had been generating. It's a space of faith. And he creates this. We see something similar with Jesus, back to the story of Jesus and Jairus' daughter. I love this. Have you noticed how in that story, Jesus asks everybody to go out of the room, except for a couple of friends who've really got faith for what they're about to do, to pray for this girl's life to come back. See, the girl in that story, the same as the boy in our story today, needed the presence of God more than the unbelief of the crowd. And it's the same with us. And when we take somebody straight into the presence of God, actually there's a responsibility there, but there's also an intention. We're saying, actually, we're going to do what we need to do to get to God first. I'm going to give you a little story, a couple of stories as we go this morning. A few years back, I was involved with a youth group down in Bournemouth. Anybody been to Bournemouth on holiday? It's nice. Me and Liz used to go skinny dipping in Bournemouth. That was just to make sure you were still awake, okay? George almost fell off his chair, didn't you, George? A terrifying thought. All right, let's move on quickly. We were working with this youth group, training with them for a year. And they had this real conviction. They'd have all these youth come in from outside of the church, the local area. They were tough youth, really, really full-on tough kids. And what they would do is they would worship for an hour in this youth group, which was totally alien, foreign to these kids that were coming in. But they had a conviction. And the conviction was this, that you need to create an environment of faith. If you're going to bring people straight to God, actually, you need to create space where there's an opportunity for people to say, maybe here I can meet God. Maybe here I can encounter God. And they persisted with this, and I loved it, because what these youth would do is they would shout out obscenities in the middle of their worship, and they would have fights. There'd be a fight that would break out at the back. I don't mean just kids being a bit naughty. I mean proper fights where they'd have to call an ambulance at the end, that kind of fight. But they persisted. They said, no, we're going to keep on creating an environment where the presence of God is experience. We're not just going to try and teach these kids stuff. We want them to encounter the God that we love. And so we're going to take them as much as we can. We're going to take them to God, see what happens. And there was one lovely evening where as they worshipped, this young girl came up to one of the leaders and said, you've been going on about this God. Can he heal my scar? And she showed the leaders this scar. And they said, yeah, of course. And the leaders, they prayed for this girl in the same way that we're going to pray in 15, 20 minutes' time. We're going to pray for a whole range of things this morning. They prayed for this girl, and her scar was immediately removed, just healed completely in front of their eyes. And they were like properly happy with that. They thought, this is great. God's doing something. This is what we've been praying for. This is why we've been worshiping. We want to bring people to God, not just try and get them into a cozy youth group, but so they encounter God. But this girl said, would it be okay if I tell people what God's done? Quite a timid girl. And they said, yeah, sure. And so they kind of quietened down the worship. And this young lady said, I just want to tell you, God healed my scar. And loads of these kids knew about her scar. They knew how she got it. And then what they ended up with was a queue of 10 or a dozen kids who all had scars waiting for prayer for healing. That night they prayed for every single one of those kids, and every single one was healed completely. Scars totally removed from all of these kids. Can you imagine the ripples in weeks to come in that youth group? They ended up with a couple of hundred kids in their youth group that they were discipling. So whether it's a supermarket, a youth group, a staff room, this is part of what we're called to do, is bring people straight to God. We can do other stuff as well. We can show love and kindness, take them out for a meal, for a coffee. But actually, we've got to say, actually, it's God you need. So Elijah takes the boy. He's created this environment of faith. This is what he prays, verse 20. Lord, my God, you have brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord. Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. What a great prayer. I want us to see a couple of things here. How he prays. First is this, he focuses more on an answer to prayer than an answer to his question. We often go to God with our questions, don't we? And that's completely valid. We want our question answered. Here's the challenge. Would you rather have your prayer answered or your question answered? Maybe you're here this morning and you're needing healing and you're saying, God, why? Why have you not done it? It's a completely valid question. And we've got to be a church where we are completely up for those kind of questions. I want to lovingly challenge you to hold on to that question. Don't deny it, don't push it down, but actually to say, my trust in God, in who he is, I'm going to lift it above the question. I'm going to say, actually, I'm going to choose to trust God again. Here's the reality. Not every prayer gets answered. Not every person gets healed. You know that, don't you? And so it can be the elephant in the room. It so shouldn't be. Here's my conviction after praying for many people over the years. Some of them have been healed. Some of them have not been healed. The more we ask, the closer we get. Please get hold of this. The more we ask, the closer we get to the heart of God. Every time we say, God, whether it's this time or the next time or not until we're with you in eternity, we get closer to the heart of God. Linda's been praying about this morning and she sent me something yesterday and it reminded me. She was reminding me of Hebrews 11. Where you get this long list of heroes. And in verse 39, it says, none of them saw the fulfillment of the promise. And it goes on to say, God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Here's the point. There's this sense in which every answered prayer is only partial anyway. What God has for us is so full, so whole, that even the best answer to prayer is not full. It will be completely full when we're with him in eternity. It means that not a single prayer is wasted or unheard. So rather than seeing a prayer without healing as a failure, we can see it as a moment we get closer to God. Now, this is not all just good excuses for prayers not being answered. God wants us to pray as though it will and keep on going until it is. That's what it means to trust, to place trust above this desire for an answer. The more we ask, the closer we get. And the closer we get, the more healing we see. Have you noticed that? That if you're not close to God, you're not going to see much healing. I was in Cafe Nero last week on Sunday morning. And this lady had a burn on her leg. This story doesn't end well, by the way. Just to be clear. This lady had a burn on her leg from where the coffee machine had bust. And I went over to her and I said, you're right. I said, I've got a burn on my leg from where the coffee machine broke. Do you know what I did? Nothing. I said, I hope it gets a bit better. And walked off. And I felt rubbish. This morning I saw the same lady again and I said to her, is your burn any better? She said, yeah, it's all kind of blistered and stuff. She said, oh, thank you so much for noticing. So that's okay. And all I got out was, I'm going to pray for you. She said, oh. She said, thank you. That's really kind. Now, maybe next week I'll actually go up to her and say, you know what? I've been thinking, let's pray right now and do what I'm talking about this morning. Pray, take her into the presence of God and see it healed. We've got to be real. Here's what we know for sure from this story in Elijah, okay? See, some of you are going to be thinking, is he going to talk about the fact that Elijah lay on top of this boy, safeguarding alarm bells ringing all around the room? Just to nail that one quickly, then we get back to the main point. There's different reasons why that could have happened. Part of it was some commentators say that it was to bring warmth to the body. That's kind of like a bit unbelieving, like he wasn't really dead. And if you breathe kind of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, bit of warmth, it's a bit disgusting, isn't it? I'm not going to do that with any fella. Anyway, it's a different issue. Actually, I'm only going to do that with my wife, just to be clear. Other commentators say, no. Part of their religious understanding in Zarephath was that evil spirits were passed on through touch. And so what he was doing was he was showing that his God is bigger than their God. We don't know. That's the answer. We don't know exactly why he did this. What we do know is that he prayed three times. Verse 21, three times he cried out to the Lord. Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. Three times he prayed this prayer. There is more power in the name of Jesus than any other name, statement, creed, book, song, anything in the world in the name of Jesus. Three times he prayed in God's name that this boy would be healed. Another quick story. I was with my friends recently, and they do their work. We do lots of our work in Iraq. They do lots of their work in Iran, where God is doing amazing things in Iran. There's about 1 million new believers in Iran in the last 25 years. If you're interested, come and speak to me. I'm just gutted that we're not really involved. Although we've got maybe a handful, 7 or 8 Iranians coming tomorrow and to meet with us, which is good. But this friend of mine works exclusively in Iran. And what happened was there's this one lady who she does like a telephone ministry. So you watch satellite TV from Iran, and it does what we're doing this morning. It says, our God is a God who loves you, who wants to bring healing to your life. And then there's a telephone number at the bottom, and you can phone up. And a lady had phoned up this lady on the team. And she'd saw the number, phoned up, and the lady on the team said, what's the problem? What is it that we can pray for you? And this lady explained that her 5-year-old son was mute, had never spoken since her son was born. And so the lady on the phone, on the team, she says, yeah, I would love to pray for you, if that's okay. She said, but you need to know we're going to pray in Jesus' name. Jesus, who is God, Jesus, who went to the cross, he gave up his life because he loved you so much to kind of bridge the gap between everything that's messed up in this world. He paid the price on the cross so that you can live in this relationship with him. And just as a by the way, if you're here this morning and you haven't quite gotten hold of that yet, that is the best healing you can experience in your whole life. There's nothing like knowing that Jesus loved you so much that he laid down his life for you and embraces you and says, now let's do life. That's the best healing any of us will experience. So this lady explains this to her and says, okay, I'll pray for your son, but I'm going to need to pray in Jesus' name. And so she starts to pray, and she's doing what we all good Christians do. She's praying a very polite prayer. God, I'm come right now, and she's picturing her in her mind. And then she hears this woman start to sob uncontrollably. And she asks this woman, she says, and she's thinking security. She's thinking maybe her husband has come into the room and has looked at her. Maybe something's gone on. And so she stops praying. She says, before I carry on, she says, what's the problem? And this lady says, through her sobbing, my son has just asked, Mummy, are you okay? This kid who's never spoken for 5 years. And this woman, understandably, she can hardly get the words out. She's got a little son speaking perfectly and a mum who can't quite speak. Why? It's the power of the name of Jesus. It's what happens when we take the problem to God, when we say, God, this is all about you, like we've been singing this morning. We get to this amazing part where I'm going to come into land so that we can pray. And verse 22, the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child. This is so lovely. Just imagine this. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. It's beautiful, isn't it? I don't know why he didn't let the son walk downstairs with him if he was, you know, he was alive. But just a lovely picture of him taking this dead child and then walking back the opposite direction, giving the boy to the mother. It's worth knowing, up to this point in the Bible, nobody had ever been raised from the dead. It's interesting, isn't it? Who gets raised from the dead? It wasn't somebody from the Israelite community. Somebody from completely outside. And if any of us ever think that healing and the gifts of the Spirit are just for inside the church, this story and then 100 others that Jesus tells that we see in his life, they should tell us, no. The gifts of the Spirit are for outside of the church as well as inside the church. So Elijah takes responsibility. He doesn't back away. He takes the problem straight to God. And just before we pray, I want us just to capture this at the end. He takes no glory for himself. It's not a kind of, look what I did, everybody. He simply walks downstairs and gives this boy back to his mum. I remember years ago hearing Jack Deere talk about his mentor, Paul Kane. Some of you may remember these names. It's going back a little while now. And Paul Kane had seen God do incredible things towards the end of his life. We haven't got time to tell any of those stories, but they're just remarkable what God did through this man in his 70s. Absolutely remarkable. But Jack Deere asked him a question. They're walking along the beach one evening in a mentoring session, and Jack Deere asked him, he said, why did the Lord wait so long until the kind of the latter part of your life when you're almost at the end of your life? Why did God wait so long? And Paul Kane gave this answer. He said, that's easy. He couldn't trust me before. He said, I'd have taken the glory. Now I know what I am and how much I need him, more than he needs me. Now he can trust me. It's interesting, isn't it? And I love what you see after this story of Elijah, God in this hidden place growing him, growing his faith in him. It's an important principle. We need to let others affirm any gifts that God has in us. Just look at verse 24 with me. It says, "Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true.'" Really interesting. If you go right back to verse 1 of this passage, this is how Elijah is described. Elijah from the town of Tishbite, somewhere in Gilead. I don't know how you'd feel about being described as from somewhere in somewhere. Get to the end of the passage, he emerges as a man of God, not from his lips, from the lips of somebody else. So, can you imagine the joy in that home that evening? Can you imagine the woman, Elijah, and the son sat down for their meal? This boy that had been dead and was now alive. All because, you think I'm going to say all because God is good. Well, that's true, but hold on a second. Actually, look at the story again. All because Elijah takes responsibility. There's a big part of this that God puts onto us. We're not just pawns in a game that he's playing, not at all. There's a reality. We get to choose whether we're part of what God wants to see happen on this earth. He takes responsibility. He doesn't back away or blame or hedge his bets. He says, "Give me the boy." And we need to do that this morning, those of us that are praying. And I'm going to be praying for some of you this morning that God is stirring up this gift of healing in you, that you'll do that. You'll take responsibility. He takes the problem straight to God. He creates this environment of faith where his desire for an encounter with God is greater than even his greatest questions. He says, "I need God more than anything else." And then he doesn't take the glory. He takes none of the glory for himself. Simply gives the boy back to his mum. So we're going to pray. Going to ask the band to come back. We're going to do it this way this morning. We're going to begin. All right, just before we get going, if you're here this morning and you have an area of your life that needs healing, and it could be physical, it could be emotional, spiritual, and could be one of those things that I mentioned right at the beginning, could be something completely different. I want to encourage you. God is here. And God loves to heal people because he loves people, all right? And so we're going to be praying for you this morning. What we're going to do just before that, we're going to pray for anybody here this morning who you've got this kind of growing sense that God wants to give you the gift of healing, so that through him, always through taking somebody to God, that actually God wants to touch you and use you in that way. And what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you, if that's you, to be a little bit brave. And I don't mind if nobody stands up or 10 or whatever. It's completely fine. None of us are going to be embarrassed. But I want to pray just for you before we start to worship, okay? And it's not that you then get a certificate at the end and you're all experts and you go off and that's it. Not at all. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and grow faith in you. And some of the things we've been looking at this morning, desire to take responsibility, to bring the person to God, not to take the glory yourself. We're going to pray that for you this morning. Then we're going to pray for everybody for healing that needs it as we continue to worship this morning. So I'm going to ask you, this is not a spectator sport, but I'm not going to ask you necessarily to close your eyes. You can if you want to. I'm going to pray for those that God is just stirring up this desire to pray for healing for others. Would you please just stand with me? I'm going to pray for you now. Spirit of God, I thank you so much that we can have this absolute confidence that you are here with us. And I thank you for these brothers and sisters in the room who maybe you've already begun to do this and they've seen some breakthrough in others' lives already over weeks and months and years. But we just ask you, Holy Spirit, in that way that only you can do, would you come now and would you fall on these guys? Would you bring an anointing that says, actually, with my God, I can see more? We say, come, Holy Spirit. And maybe if you're just around these guys and you'd like, you just reach out, just stretch out your hands towards them. Just say, come, Spirit of God. Let that lovely spirit, that lovely anointing, the touch of God, let it just increase. We just speak that increase. Come, Spirit of God. Come now. Lord, touch the hands of these brothers and sisters who are saying yes to you. Let them hear the yes of the God that they love. Let them hear the yes of the God that increases their anointing so they've got boldness and courage, real conviction to go towards those that need healing, not away. We just pray it over you in the name of Jesus. Go towards those who need healing. Lord, we just say the name of Jesus. We've been talking about its power this morning. We just say, Lord, remind these that are stood that in the name of Jesus, they have everything they need to see heaven break in, to see heaven touch earth, to see lives put back together, to see real healing in Jesus' name. Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand together. We're going to worship for 20 minutes or so. And during that time, I'm going to invite you. If there's an area of your life where you need healing, it would be such a privilege to pray for you. We would love to pray. And we really believe God's going to meet with us this morning. And we believe that you're going to get healed, okay? And so what I ask you to do, be a little bit brave. We're not going to stick our prayers around the room. I'm going to ask you just to come and stand down. We've made a good amount of room at the front this morning. It's a little bit more than normal. And what we'd love you to do is just to come and stand down at the front. And those that are normally prayers in this church, you can come and pray. Those that we've just prayed for, those of you that stood, I want you to come and pray for anybody this morning that needs healing. It's not a counselling session. Sally, would you just run up onto the stage? You're going to be my dummy. That's not right, is it? What is it? What? Guinea pig. That's better than dummy, isn't it, Sal? Guinea pig. All you're going to do, all right, so if somebody stood down at the front, all you're going to do is you're going to come alongside him and say, what can I pray for you? And Sally's going to say, have you actually got something?
No.
No, okay, all right. I thought maybe you did.
Sally, I measured my legs before I came out.
You what?
I measured the length of my legs to make sure they were the same length before I came.
Did you really? Okay, not many people measure the length of their legs before they come out, but I like your faith that actually if one had been longer, that would be... Okay, thank you, Sally. So you're just going to ask somebody, and then you're going to pray. You're going to do what we talked about this morning. You're going to take responsibility, all right? Don't pick them up and carry them anywhere. Just take responsibility. You're going to bring them to Jesus. Bring them straight to Jesus and not take any glory, all right? That's what we're going to do. So we're going to worship for a little while. As you're ready, I would encourage you to do it sooner rather than later. Just come and stand at the front. There's nothing special about the front. It's not more anointed than the back. It's just that we then know who's kind of saying, yeah, I want healing in my life, and we can come and stand alongside you. One last word. If you're the person here this morning who you kind of think, I really want healing, but I'm the least likely person in the world to go and stand at the front, come and stand at the front. We would love to pray for you, all right? Okay, let's go for it in worship. I want to encourage you, come straight down. Prayer team, come straight down, and we're going to start praying for people.